So then I had a spark. And the spark in my head was, all right, let's take a look at what's happening here. All three of us are having the same information funneled to us, right? We're all basically being fed the same data. We're seeing, hearing, experiencing the same challenge. But all this information coming to us, whether it be what something a person said, the way they said it, their facial expression, all that stuff that was the same is now being cookie-cuttered into meanings by each of us. But interestingly enough, the emotions I'm feeling and the words that I'm using are angry and mad. My buddy over here, he's got a different set of words. He's got enraged, livid, furious, kill him. Is there more intensity here than here, yes or no? Then I got my buddy over here, and he's got annoyed, peeved, and the other one was tinkled. I thought, you don't really use that word. You gotta be kidding me, right? So I'm thinking, here's what's interesting. We're all having the same experience, but I thought, you know, in those days, I was angry a lot. This guy, I'd seen him enraged many times. I'd never seen him really mad. I'd seen him annoyed, but not knowing that was the word. And I thought, I feel that, is it possible that I feel that a lot? Because we're all getting the same sensations, but we're attaching a word to it, which is making it mean something in our bodies. Sensations are changed by what we attach to it. And I started to think, this is interesting. And the only reason is not the experience, but because the language we attach to our experience becomes our experience. That the minute we attach the language, it literally takes those sensations and makes them become something, like a cookie cutter. Like if that was all the same dough, the same information coming in, one person cookie cuts something that looks like a Christmas tree and somebody has a star, you're gonna end up with a different meaning, a different experience. And I thought, God, that if that were true, then all you would have to do is change your habitual emotional vocabulary. And you would not be suppressing emotion, you would be transforming it. You would transform the emotional experience you have of your life. And I thought, I call it transformational vocabulary. And so I decided to give it a test. I said, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. For the next 10 days, anytime I would normally get angry, instead of doing that, in my own head, not just verbally outside, inside as well, I'm going to immediately switch that, and I'm going to train myself so that when I start to feel these sensations I've been calling angry, I'm going to call them, this annoys me, or it peeves me. And as I said it, I smiled because it sounded so stupid, right? So I thought, interesting. So sure enough, I went to a group of my friends, and I said, listen, for the next 10 days, I want your help. If you hear me say I'm angry, I want to instead be either annoyed or peeved. I can't do tinkled. That's too far. I said, annoyed or peeved. What I want you to do is really simple. Give me the choice. Say, Tony, are you angry or are you annoyed? Would you do me that favor? They said, sure. So they didn't really have to do it. I was really got good into it, and I got good. And the first time I used it, I'll never forget, it was about 3 days later. I had flown all night. I'd gone from two or three different cities. You know, I was flying commercially in those days, and I went and I landed in Cleveland. And because of the shuttles I had to take and everything else, I ended up getting there about 1:30 in the morning. Now, bear in mind, I have to be up at 6:30 for my workout so that I can get dressed and be on stage by 8 for a one-day business seminar for 2,000 or 3,000 people. And so at the time, you know, I'm 1:30. By the time you get from the airport to the hall, it's 2 a.m. By the time you get, it's going to be 3. I got up at 6. I'm going to have 3 hours sleep. I'm burnt out, you know, and I'm not thrilled about that. And I'm always checked in under a false name, obviously, because otherwise people show up at my door in the middle of the night. And so as a result, I have a different name I use, right? And my staff always checks me in advance so that when I go there, I don't get stuck at the counter and having people coming up and that kind of thing, right? Thank you very much. And so I get to the counter, and the place is dead. You know, it's 2 in the morning, probably 2:15. And there's this one lone person back there. And so I walk up, and I'm dragging, you know, and I said, hi. And I give him my name. And I said, you know, you get my key. And the guy looks at me and goes, say the name again. And have you ever been like on a plane and you're totally fine while you're flying, you're not having a problem with the time, everything's fine till you land. And then you get up and you're standing in the aisle and they don't open the door for like 15 minutes and they become the longest 15 minutes of humanity. And then you go down for your luggage and it really isn't that long. It's probably 20 or 30 minutes, but it's the longest 30 minutes in human history. And you like find this volcano inside of you growing, you know, and you're ready. So I was already kind of burnt in that place anyway. And this guy behind the counter goes, "What's your name?" I told him, "What's your name?" I thought, is he not listening? And I started to overreact, but I didn't say anything. I just felt this. So then he gets behind the counter by the computer. And so the guy is behind the counter, and what does he do? He starts hunting and pecking my name. He goes, and I can feel this. I'm like, okay, this won't take long. Breathe. You'll be in your room soon, right? And then he screws up, and he hits the delete and starts over. And I just feel it building. And then he looks up, and he goes, no reservation. And I said, listen, there are 1,000 people staying in this hotel because of me. There's a reservation. I said, please, here's the name. Check it again. Here's another name. Check under my real name. Maybe somebody screwed up, you know. 20 minutes later, the intensity's up at my eyeball level now, right? Nope, there's no reservation. I said, can you speak to the manager? He goes, I am the manager. I'm freaking right. So it's like, oh my God. So then he goes, finally about the fourth time through, he gets it, but he goes, yeah, but he said, you've got a twin bed, is that okay? I felt like saying, do I look like it's okay? Little man! But I didn't pick him up by his hair and do that like I wanted to. Instead, I felt this volcano was right at the edge, right there. And I turned to him and I said, sir, you're beginning to peeve me. And I'll never forget the look on his face. He went, oh, I'm so sorry. He goes, all hurry. So he kind of like click, 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 right? So he sped up and he finally got my key. But the great thing about the experience was I laughed, he laughed, right? He sped up, but the volcano stopped, because if I had unleashed on this poor man, that would not be consistent with who I am as a person, right? And it wasn't about him, it was about the state I was in, right? And it was about him. It's a combination, actually. But the point is that by not doing that, it felt so much better to laugh than it did to raise my voice. It felt so much better to get him to laugh than it did to berate him. It was more elegant, it was more consistent with who I am, and I got the job. I got what I needed. I mean, I got the job done, right? So what do you think this did? It reinforced me, right? Does that make sense? Because now what did I get? I got pleasure. What did I get? I got variety. I got certainty that I get a response, which I could have done the other way, and he could have actually dug his heels in and not helped, right? So I got more certainty. I got connection with this guy because we both laughed together, right? I got significance within myself because I thought, look at this, isn't this cool? You got no sleep, this guy's not taking care of you, you're busting your tail, and you're still being playful and fun, right? I got growth, and in some way I contributed him in changing his state maybe a little bit. You know, I could rationalize that part at least. So 4 or 5 of my needs were legitimately met. Whereas yelling at him would have made me feel what? A release of tension, so maybe a little comfort in the moment. But then afterwards, I would have felt bad. I would have felt like that was not elegant. That's not who you are. That was not appropriate. And I would have beat myself up. He probably would have dug in his heels. I probably wouldn't have sped him up much, if it did at all. And it would have reinforced a bad habit. So I may have met one need. Maybe I would have felt significant for the moment because he jumped and felt certain, as opposed to meeting 5 of my needs. How many follow this? Say aye. So when something meets more of your needs, it reinforces you. You tend to want to do it again. Plus, it was fun, right?